It is a blessing to be with you today. Thank you very much again for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. I do want to make a couple announcements before we get into our lesson today. I want to ask you to remember Chris Lambert's brother Jay. Jay is in the hospital in Atlanta, and he has some intestinal issues that he had, then they reared again. And so if you will remember him in your prayers, Chris had mentioned that to me just a moment ago. So Jay Lambert is his name. And then also I want to, on behalf of Sister Frieda Bagwell, she called me yesterday, sweetest lady, and just expressed her appreciation of how much this church means to her. She wanted to say thank you to those who helped so much in the funeral and with everything that takes place. And some of you have gone above and beyond even normal that you do. And so thank y'all very much for her. This week, I want to talk with you, make sure this is on before I get from behind here, about this. This is our theme, right? Forward. Now, it's only our theme for a few more weeks, because we have a new theme coming up, and we kind of mentioned that. We're going to really focus on studying the Word of God. And so today and these next few weeks, I really want us to think about where we are. Where we are when it comes to our walk with God. You see, if in January 1, you were this far down the road to living the Christian life and doing what you're supposed to do, and now here in almost December, you're this far down. Okay? Maybe you've gone backwards. Maybe you haven't gone at all. Maybe you've gone leaps and bounds. Our prayer as an eldership, our prayer, my prayer as a minister, our prayer as a congregation ought to be that all of us have grown and moved forward spiritually. We've stretched ourselves. We've gotten out of our comfort zones. We've done some things that have helped us. Well, today's lesson is one that I think will be challenging to us, but it's very applicable to our theme and to our lives today. Maybe it steps on our toes. Maybe it encourages us. Maybe it challenges us. Whatever it does, here's what I want you to know. We're going to look at what God says about working, about serving, about doing what He wants us to do. You know, if I were to ask the question, what is the greatest masterpiece you've ever seen? Now, I'm not an art guy, but I would never be able to afford it anyhow. But maybe you are an art person, or maybe you are a monument person, or a sunset person, or something like that, and you've seen these great, beautiful places, these great monuments, these great pieces of art, and you think they are just breathtaking. Maybe it's you've gone into some place and you've seen this mural that's painted on a wall or whatever it may be. You might think that is the greatest masterpiece I've ever seen. Well, I would say they're certainly impressive, but none of them are the masterpiece that God created. You see, in Ephesians 2:10 that Gabriel read to us from just a moment ago, we are reminded, for we are His workmanship. Listen to that again. Let's break this verse down. For we, that's you, that is me, that is us in this room, we are His workmanship. Notice the next part. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now listen to that verse again. For we are His workmanship. That means we are the clay. He is the potter. He has molded us and He has crafted us and He has made us, and we are His creation. But here's the beautiful thing. When I point to you and me, now, I'm not talking about those outside of Christ. I'm talking to those who are in the church today, those who are baptized believers, because He said, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the beautiful part about that. We're not just created to sit pretty. We're not just created to look the part. We're not just created to stand still. We are created to do work. We are created in Christ Jesus to move forward. He said it, didn't He? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is God alone who makes Christians. Now listen, I am an instrument. You are an instrument. But I can't forgive anyone. I wasn't crucified for anyone. You're not baptized in your name or my name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes us Christians. He is the one that washes our sins away. He is the one that makes us right. We are the ones that can point them to the cross, point them to baptism, point them to the church, point them to the Word of God. But it's God who did it. It's His workmanship. Listen to Jonah 2, verse 9, where He says there, I'm not the whole verse, just the end of it. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation. It belongs to God. The painting doesn't paint itself, right? It has a painter. The symphony doesn't compose itself. It has others playing the music. The poem doesn't write itself, nor does anything we do, per se, make us saved. Now, hear me out. There are steps we take. There's opportunities we have. We take advantage of invitations. They take advantage of opportunities to be able to accept the free gift of God. But we can't earn it. You know, I hear people say all the time, all the things I've done, I'm not worthy of it. Folks, none of us are worthy of it, but it's because of God. God is the masterpiece. He is the one that created us. Isaiah 64, verse 8 proclaims this, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. It's supposed to be on that slide, by the way, a minute ago. O Father, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are our potter, and all we are the work of Your hand. You know, I'm not very good at working with clay. The only clay I've really worked with is Play-Doh. Okay? I can make a good ball and a good bat and a good snake. That's about it. Or maybe a good pancake. But there are people that can take clay and they can take those things and they can make masterpieces out of it, right? They can form this and they can form that and they can do great things. Well, listen, maybe that's your talent, maybe it's not, but the beautiful thing is it's God's. He can take a big old pile of clay, a big old pile that you and I can't do anything hardly with, and He can mold us to be great workers in the kingdom. You see, the Greek word that's been translated workmanship is used only twice in the entire New Testament. It's used in Ephesians right there, in Ephesians 2:10, and it's also used in Romans 1:20. In that verse, the word's translated, the phrase, the things that are made. Listen to Romans 1:20. In the beginning, he talks about there, or I'm saying Romans 1:20 talks about in the beginning, that's when He made these things. These things that are made. That was Him creating this and creating that. But in Ephesians 2:10, this is important to note, in Romans he's talking about the things outside. But in Ephesians 2:10, he's talking about a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, you know what he's doing? We were created, right? Adam was created from dirt. That's the things that is God's workmanship. But through Adam came sin. And so what had to happen? We had to be a new creation. We had to be born again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, He is a new creation. We, you and me, whatever we were before we were baptized into Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. So if you were just an awful person, but your sins have been washed away, it doesn't matter because now today you're a new creation. It's what God is working on now. It's what God's working on now. You know, to create something means that someone makes something out of nothing. Okay, if you're going to create, it means you got to make something out of nothing. Just like the universe. That's why evolution and those theories do not make sense. Because there's something that the evolutionists say, this Big Bang that happened, well, there was something there. It didn't come out of nothing. There was something already there. God created it out of what? Nothing. When God makes Christians, new creations, He makes them out of nothing. Outside of Christ, you know what we are? Nothing. Outside of Christ, we're lost. We are apart from God's grace. We are, as Ephesians 2:1 declares, dead in trespasses and dead in sins. You know what's beautiful about God? He takes sinners and turns them into saints. What I'm trying to do is paint for you the picture of why we want to work. You see, when we understand who the Creator is, and we understand what the Creator did, the word work has a negative connotation to it, because it goes back to the garden, doesn't it? You remember part of the punishment was work was going to be hard. Well, you are hard workers. And so tomorrow morning, especially if you've had a few days off, it's going to be hard to go back to work where it's a grind. And maybe the boss isn't nice, or maybe you are the boss and your employees aren't nice. And we've got all kinds of things going on, and it's a grind. I don't want you to look at God's work that way. Because, see, our Creator is a potter. And He took nothing. He took a ball of clay that had no form, that had no beauty, that had no spirit about them, that had no hope, that had no light, and He made us. When we were baptized into Christ, when we had our sins washed away and He added us to the kingdom, we became those new creations. You know what that cost us though? What it cost God? It cost God His Son. The Son that Taylor talked about thirsting on the cross. The Son that started out real bitter, but it ended up being so sweet. During World War II, it was a custom in the United States for a family who had a son serving in the military to place a star in the front window of their home. A gold star indicated that the son had died in support of his country's cause. One night, a young man was walking down a New York City street, and he was accompanied by his 5-year-old son. The little fellow wanted to know why some houses had a star in the window. The father explained that those families had a son fighting in the war. The child would clap his hands as he saw another star in the window and cry out, "Look, Daddy, there's another family who gave a son for his country." At last, they came to an empty lot, and there was a break in the row of houses. Through the gap, a single star could be seen shining brightly in the sky. The little 5-year-old caught his breath, and he said, "Oh, Daddy," he cried, "look at the star in the window of heaven. God must have given His Son too." You see, there's a star in God's window because God loved us so much that He gave His Son so that we can be new creations today. We are God's workers. But I want you to understand something. We are not new creations, the kind that sit around in a museum somewhere and collect dust. That's not who we should be. You see, we're machines that has a master mechanic behind it. Machines are made to work. Christians are made to work. So today I want to remind us through the Bible. I have some points here that we'll go through relatively quickly. But I want you to understand how important it is today that we get busy. This morning in my class, and usually the class material I'm teaching and the sermon may vary, right? But today it lined up perfectly. And we're looking at Ephesians 4 this morning in my Bible class, where it talks about how He gave some to be evangelists and some pastors of prophets, etc., etc. And why did He do all that? Why did He give some to be apostles, some all those things? Because, He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the body. Why are we here today? We're here today to worship God. In this room, we're right here to worship God. But we're also here to encourage, to strengthen, to build up. And what we need to understand today is this, that God created you and He created me so that we can help others, so that we can grow. I don't want you to look at working for God as a bad thing. God is the master. We are the servants. But it's not anything we should not look forward to. We need to understand our talents. We need to know what they are. We need to use them. But we need to understand the following things. Number one, we work because of our faith. In James, he makes it very clear in his epistle. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James chapter 2, 14 through 16. We understand, right? Our faith is more than just belief. You hear people say all the time, "Well, I believe in Jesus Christ." Well, what are you doing for Him? Right? "I believe in God." Well, what are you doing for Him? If I believe in God, is that enough? Absolutely, it's not enough. I've got to work. Now, I said from the beginning of this, my working doesn't earn me merits. It doesn't earn me extra bonuses. It doesn't earn me any extra thing. It's just part of my duty of being a Christian. We, as a church, will not move forward until we get off the pew and serve. Now, understand this. Jesus declared it this way, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew 7:21. Belief ought to lead me. Faith ought to lead me to want to serve. When I understand who the Creator is, work isn't a bad thing. Well, you don't understand. I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that. Well, see, that's what it boils down to. If we don't want to do this and we don't want to do that, then we need to think about what are we doing here? Now, I'm not saying your talent and my talent are the same. I may have different talents than you. You may have different talents than me. But at the end of the day, we pull all our talents together and we work and we serve and we grow and we move forward. But it's our faith that should lead us to work. James 1:22, he reminded us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So the first thing we need to understand when it comes to work is we're working because of our faith. Secondly, this morning, we work to bring glory to God. That's why God saved us. That's why He sent His Son. That's why Jesus went through what He went through. It was all about saving our soul to bring glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, today, you know, I'm thankful for Taylor and Katie. I'm thankful for what they're doing with our young people. But Taylor, and Taylor did a great job as Ninth Man, but to see those children lined up, Taylor knew that's not about him. Justin does a great job. Jason does a great job. They know it's not about them. It's not about me. It's about doing it to the glory of God. So when somebody says, hey, well, you know, hey, you got to understand those guys, those elders or whatever, they're your boss or whatever. No, God is mine, right? So if I'm not pleasing God, then I've got a big issue. And so today I can't understand for the life of me why we wouldn't want to move forward and serve because it pleases God. Everything we do must be to the glory of God. The psalmist declares, give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Psalm 29, verse 2. Now what's the best way to do that? How am I going to give unto the Lord the glory, do His name? I think Jesus said it pretty well in John 15, verse 8. He said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Lately, I've eaten some satsumas. I've eaten some from people here, and I've eaten some from other places. And the reason that is because people have planted satsuma trees. And lo and behold, satsumas grew on them. And they're able to share the wealth. And I'm thankful for that. But just so happens, what if they go out and they plant these trees and nothing grows? Well, I might give it one more time and the next year nothing grows. Well, that thing's just taking up space now. So it's no good to that person harvesting satsumas. It's no good to that person harvesting fill in the blank, whatever fruit you may be eating. You see, if it's not producing fruit, it's not doing what it was created and designed to do. You and I, in Christ Jesus, are new creations for good works. If we are not doing what God wants us to do, then we're not glorifying Him. At the end of the creation, I'm talking about the Romans 1 type workmanship, right? At the end of creation in Genesis 1, we read God saying in verse 31, then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. Sometimes, maybe we need to ask ourselves, as He looks upon His new creations, does He say, they are very good? Thirdly, we work to make an impact on others. Louis Pasteur is a pioneer of immunology. He lived at a time when thousands of people died each year of rabies. Now, I know that vaccines and those things are in the news, right? But this is a long time ago when rabies was a big deal. Pasteur had worked for years on a vaccine. Just as he was about to begin experimenting on himself, a 9-year-old boy named Joseph Meister was bitten by a rabid dog. The boy's mother begged Pasteur to experiment on her son. Why? She's desperate. So he reluctantly agreed. And he injected Joseph for 10 days. And the boy lived. Decades later, of all the things that Pasteur could have had etched on his tombstone, he asked for three words. Joseph Meister lived. He made an impact. by His works on that young man. That young man lived because of something he had done. God took a stick in the hand of Moses and parted the mighty Red Sea. God took a slingshot in the hand of a young shepherd and killed a menacing giant. God took a little boy's lunch and fed thousands. What can He do with our talents? What can He do with our gifts and abilities? Don't think what you're doing, if you are doing, don't think what you are doing is not of importance. Teaching a Sunday school class, being a keeper, cleaning up, watching over us while we're here. There are people keeping us safe right now, praying for your neighbors, visiting the sick, visiting the hurting. All of these things have an impact on others. If we're doing it because our faith has led us and we're doing it to bring glory to God, it's going to make a difference. Fourthly, working for God is an honor, not a bother. There are a lot of folks, I said from the outset, we see the word work and it has a negative connotation to it. It has a negative meaning behind it because we think about work. It's the same way I think about running. I see conditioning on my schedule, my practice sheet. Here each station we're supposed to be at the end of it was conditioning. And that's why I look at running. It's conditioning. It's work. It's hard. I don't want to do it. So I don't. Same way we work in the church. People look at it as work. Hey, it's got a negative meaning behind it. I don't want to do it. So they don't. Working for God is not a bother. It's an honor. Moses was reluctant. Excuse after excuse after excuse. You know what the real gist of it was? He said, "Lord, please send someone else." In other words, I really don't want to do it. People can make excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse, but it really boils down to is, it's bothering me. You're working for the King. That's an honor. Fifthly, working for God is a command, not an option. Too often churches have Christians that are sitting in the pews, cheering on the few who are doing most of the work. We need less spectators and more servants. Once again, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You and I cannot move forward. This church cannot move forward. And I'm not talking about moving forward by coming up with crazy ideas and crazy things. I'm talking about doing it the way God says, moving forward, growing, making this the greatest kingdom institution in this area that will ever be, because it's the Lord's church. How do we do it? By understanding we don't have an option. But we got to also remember it's not a bother, it's an honor. Number six, if you're keeping up, told you we're pretty quick through some of these. Certain good works have been planned for us by God. Going back to Ephesians now, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen to this. God has a blueprint for your life. He's got a blueprint for your life. Before the creation of this world, God planned for you to do certain good works. Planned for me to do certain good works. But He's got it mapped out if we will trust Him. The question is, Are we doing the things He mapped out for us? I don't have time with this crowd, but you need to ask yourself, what is my talent? Probably more like this, what are my talents? But what is my talent? Now, I could go around the room and I could tell you what your talents were, what I see them as, but you need to know what they are. Because they were given to you by God before you were ever thought of. He wrote it on your DNA. You're going to be good at this, you're going to be good at this, you're going to be good at this, and you're going to use it to God's glory. You see, that was planned. The question is, are we using our talents? Are we doubling them for the master, like two of the servants were, or are we burying it in the sand? You see, that's a question only you can answer. Number 7, if you're keeping track. The time for work is today. Jesus declared, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." John 4:35. I don't want anyone here to think, man, that sermon really motivates me and I'm gonna get to work, but I'm going to wait till the next week. Or I'll do it later. You know, he really got me inspired and I really want to get involved and I really want to do. No, folks, the time to begin is now. It's not for my sake. It's for your sake, but most importantly, it's for God's sake. He wants it. He desires it. He created us this way. We're new creation. He gave His Son so that we can be here today. What are we doing for Him? James 4:17, one of the scariest passages in the Bible, folks, to me. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Finally, this morning. Refusal to work brings devastating consequences. A minister was approached by a man who wanted to be a member at their church. Great, exciting times, right? I love when that happens. But, the man said, have a very busy schedule. I can't be called on for any service, such as cleaning, teaching, singing, or anything like that. I just won't be available for special projects or to help with setting up chairs or tables or anything like that. And I'm afraid I'll never be able to help with any youth activities because my evenings are always tied up. The minister thought for a moment. Then replied, I believe you're at the wrong church. See, the church you're looking for is 3 blocks down the street on the right. The man followed the preacher's direction. And he soon came to an abandoned, boarded up, closed church building. What if Noah had decided, it's just too much work. I can't take on this project. I can't build this ark. What if Moses would have gotten his way? What if he would have just refused to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? What if Paul had disobeyed God's call to preach the gospel to the Gentiles? And what if you and I decide to not do the work God has planned for us? What will it mean to our church? What will it mean to our families? What will it mean for our neighbors? What will it mean for us? God once said, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Is God saying those same sad words to us today? Does He cry out, "Oh, that they would listen to me. Oh, that this church would walk in my ways." General William Booth is the founder of the Salvation Army. He was asked the secret of his amazing Christian life. Booth answered, "I told the Lord He could have all there is of William Booth." Have you told that to God? Have you said, "Lord, You can have all of me"? Today, if you haven't, today is the day. It's time for you to say, "God, here's my life. I lay it down before You. I'm ready to obey You, and I'm ready to go to work." Maybe you've obeyed Him, but you've quit working. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, if we want to move forward, we got to give it to Him. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.